If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
All right, welcome back to our series about classroom cover-ups and passing the trash. We are on our fourth piece in this series. And if you've been following along, you know we are shining the light on the dangerous practices where districts allow accused educators to resign quietly and relocate, often without warning future employers, putting more children in jeopardy. In episode 3, we explored Kip McFarland's coaching scandals in Texas and how sports culture shielded him until it was too late. Now in episode 4, we're going to be shifting to New Jersey for a case that not only devastated young lives, but directly inspired state legislation to combat passing the trash. We're going to get into all of it, but I got to remind you, this only works. Awareness about this only works if you do your part and let other people know there is a problem. So I'm enraged by this. That's why I'm doing a 10-part series on this. So I'm going to keep giving you a bunch of ammo every day. Here's a new piece. Here's a new case. Here's more on this problem. I need you to share it out there. I need you to let people know that this is a thing. People need to see this. People need to hear about this. So they're motivated to take action. So please do share this with others. Press subscribe and let people know that this is going on. Because many just don't know. Out of sight, out of mind. Couldn't happen here. Guess what? It is. It's happening everywhere. I would almost challenge you to not find a district where there is a little bit of trash someplace in that yearbook. And it needs to be fixed. And it can be fixed. So enter Jason Fennes, former elementary school teacher from Bloomfield, whose 2010 allegations of inappropriate touching and lap-sitting with young girls led to the hush-hush registration from Mountville Township Public Schools. Just 2 months later, he was hired by Cedar Hill Prep, a private academy in Somerset, where then he went on to go on and essay a 15-year-old who he coached. His eventual 2016 guilty plea to multiple counts of SA and endangering the welfare of children resulted in a 14-year prison sentence, but the damage was done, exposing systematic flaws that allowed him to prey on victims across counties. We're going to break down the detailed timeline, the chilling allegations from court records, the victims' ordeals and the long-term struggles, the contentious lawsuits and insurance battles that went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and how this case fits into the nationwide patterns of negligence and reform efforts. story is a stark reminder of what happens when schools prioritize secrecy over safety, and it underscores the need for vigilant enforcement. Again, please share. Let people know we got a problem here, because this is going on everywhere. Let's get into it. I'm going to begin by contextualizing New Jersey's education landscape in the early 2010s, a time when suburban districts like Mountville Township in Morris County prided themselves on strong community ties, high test scores, and family-oriented atmospheres. Mountville, with its mix of public schools serving about 3,500 students, emphasized nurturing environments for young learners. Jason Fennis, born and raised in Bloomfield, Essex County, was in his mid-30s when he started teaching first grade at Cedar Grove Elementary in Mountville, right around 2008. He held a bachelor's degree in education from Seton Hall University and seemed like a typical educator, enthusiastic about lesson plans, involved in extracurricular coaching for youth sports, and generally well-liked by colleagues. But beneath that facade, troubling behaviors emerged by 2010 when multiple female students aged 6 to 8 began reporting inappropriate physical contact. The allegations were specific and disturbing. Fennis allegedly touched the girls on their butt, inner thighs, and private areas under the guise of helping them with tasks like tying shoes or adjusting clothes during class activities, like predators do. Court documents later detailed how he would let the girls sit on his lap during story time or circle activities, hugging them tightly in a way that lingered too long, making them squirm uncomfortably. One girl confided to her parents that he would rub her back and legs in a manner that felt invasive. One another described him picking her up and holding her against his body during recess, whispering compliments that crossed boundaries. These incidents weren't one-offs. Parents documented a pattern where Fennis isolated certain girls in the classroom, giving them extra attention or treats, where experts later identified it was grooming. Of course it was, to build trust and test limits. At least 4 families raised alarms with school administrators. 4 families, including the principal and the superintendent. And guess what they did? Well, they started an internal investigation. Okay, good on you, right? So far, by Mountville officials. The probe involved interviews with the children, parents, and Fennis himself. But it dragged on without immediate action. Fennis denied the claims, of course he did, calling them misunderstandings from overactive imaginations. And the district placed him on administrative leave amid the scrutiny. Ultimately, the investigation concluded without sustaining criminal abuse or substantiating it, citing a lack of corroborating evidence beyond the children's statements. A common hurdle in child abuse cases where physical proof is rare. That's why we need body cams on every teacher. Instead of reporting the suspicions to the Division of Child Protective Safety, there it's called the Child Protection and Permanency, or the local police, the DCPP, as mandated by New Jersey's reporting laws for reasonable cause, the district opted for a confidential settlement. And in June of 2010, Fennis resigned under an agreement that severely limited what Mountville could disclose to future employers. Only basic employment details like dates of service, job title, with no mention of the allegations or the investigation. This little hush contract included a neutral reference letter as well, praising his dedication, effectively erasing the red flag. So when somebody goes to hire, well, he's dedicated. Look at this. I got a letter saying that. Oh, dedicated. You're damn right to the little girls. But that district was not dedicated to the little girls. They let them just kind of, well, you know, he's going to go somewhere else, out of sight, out of mind. Everything's good, right? No. Imagine having a neighbor that you trusted initially babysit your kids, and your kids come back after your night out, your date night, and they're like, yeah, that was kind of, I don't know that I like them. Why? They made me sit on their lap. It was uncomfortable. And it's just like, okay, maybe it's not a straight out SA, but there's certainly predatory-ish behavior that they're telling you about. One's grooming. I would call it grooming type behavior, where you recognize what that is, if you recognize what that is, and you go, yeah, we're not going to go any further with this. So you don't You don't send your kids over there to be babysat anymore. But then on your social media feed, somebody's looking for a babysitter in the area. And you spark up and go, I know somebody, my neighbor, he babysits. He's babysat my kids before. But you don't say anything about the reason why he's never going to do it again or the complaints that your kids have about him. You just go, yeah, it's been dependable, been there when I needed them. Sure, that's true. You know, they fit the bill. They were there when you needed them to babysit. But you're not going to tell your friend about what went on and why this might not be a great person to babysit your children. That's exactly what these school districts are doing to their neighbors 20 miles up the road where this guy lands next. Imagine doing that as a human being, as a parent. That is what these school boards are doing. That is what these administrators are doing. That's what some of these principals are doing. It's not just the big bad entity that's making bad choices. There's people behind these decisions, and they're doing exactly what I just described and sleeping at night. That's disturbing. So he gets the hush contract, the dedication letter. These deals are hallmarks of passing the trash, designed to avoid defamation lawsuits or negative publicity, often negotiated with input from teachers' unions like the New Jersey Education Association to protect members' careers. This decision wasn't made in a vacuum. In a 2017 NJ.com investigation, it revealed dozens of similar cases across New Jersey where districts chose quiet exits over transparency, influenced by fears of costly litigation and reputational harm. Fenner's certificate revocation wasn't pursued immediately, leaving his teaching credentials intact for the time being. Just 2 months later, in August of 2010, Fenner was hired at Cedar Hill Prep School, a private K-8 academy in Somerset with about 200 students, known for its small classes, personalized instruction, and emphasis on character development. The school's founder conducted what they called a thorough vetting process, but the background check came up spotless because it would. There was nothing on the background check because there was nothing reported to authorities. Montville's silence ensured no warning surfaced. Fennis started as a lower school teacher there, quickly integrating into the community and even coaching girls basketball on the side. At Cedar Hill, the abuse not only continued, but it escalated in severity and scope. Over the next 3 years, he SA'd at least 4 young girls in his classroom, repeating and intensifying the patterns from Montville. More lap sitting during reading sessions, inappropriate touching under desks, and during help with art projects, and isolating victims by keeping them in after class. Court records from his pleas detailed graphic incidents. One victim, a 7-year-old, referred to as Child M in legal filings, alleged Fennis SA'd her in February of 2011, by touching her there under her clothing while she sat on his lap, pretending to read a book. Another girl reported him rubbing her thighs and whispering, "You're special," creating a sense of secrecy. But Fennis' crimes extended beyond the classroom. As a basketball coach, he groomed a 15-year-old player with extra practice sessions, flirty messages, and emotional manipulation, building what she would later describe as a relationship that felt coercive. And between 2011 and 2013, you guessed it right, he had with her multiple times. And I don't think that's the right way to even say it. It wouldn't be. It wasn't that he had S. It was R. Because when you're doing that with a kid and you're an adult, that's R. It ain't S. Let's get our letters right here, kids. It was in his car or secluded spots, exploiting her vulnerability as a teen, seeking validation from an authority figure. The crimes finally came to light in 2013 when one of the Montville victims, now older, disclosed the abuse to a therapist during a session unrelated to school. The therapist, as a mandated reporter that has an interest in doing their job, unlike the school districts, reported it to authorities, which triggered a comprehensive investigation by the Morris County Prosecutor's Office and Montville Police. Detectives interviewed the original complainants, uncovering consistencies in their stories. It strengthened the case. And as the probe widened to Fennis's post-resignation activities, Cedar Hill victims emerged leading to additional charges in Somerset County by prosecutor Michael H. Robertson. In total, Fennis faced indictments for abusing six minors, four from Montville, aggravated SA and endangering, and two from Cedar Hill, one young girl and the teen with SA charges. He was arrested in August of 2013 at his home, shocking both communities, supposedly. Parents at Cedar Hill expressed outrage that Montville's non-disclosure had essentially handed them a predator. Fennis initially pled not guilty, fighting the charges through pretrial motions, but the evidence, victim testimonies, and corroborating witnesses and his own inconsistent statements, it mounted. And by 2016, facing overwhelming proof and the prospect of a longer sentence, if convicted at trial, he pled guilty in both counties to aggravated SA and four counts of endangering in Morris. And S.A. in Somerset. Sentencing came in January of 17, and he ended up getting 14 years in state prison at New Jersey State Prison in Trenton, with parole eligibility only after serving 85% after about 12 years under the No Early Release Act, which is actually about early release. Plus lifetime parole supervision, no contact with victims, and registration as a Tier 2 S offender under Megan's Law. The victim stories are heart-wrenching and illustrate the profound, long-lasting trauma of betrayal by a trusted adult in a position of power. The Montville girls, the first graders at the time of the abuse, suffered in silence for years before the disclosures. One victim in appellate records described reoccurring nightmares where Fennis chased her, leading to anxiety disorders that required ongoing therapy and affecting her ability to form relationships. Another girl's parents noted behavioral changes as well: bedwetting, fear of school, withdrawal. That persisted into middle school, disrupting her education and social development. And Child M from Cedar Hill, who filed a civil suit in 2016, detailed in court filings how the assault left her with PTSD symptoms, including flashbacks, hypervigilance, and depression that led to self-harm attempts as a teen. She struggled academically, switching schools to escape reminders, and faced bullying from peers who learned about the case. The 15-year-old basketball player charged as a separate victim in Somerset spoke in an impact statement of feeling used and discarded, grappling with guilt, shame, and trust issues that derailed her high school years, contributing to higher risks of substance abuse and eating disorders as documented in similar abuse studies. Families across both schools described the emotional toll. Parents in Montville felt guilty for not pushing administrators harder, blaming themselves for trusting the system, while Cedar Hill parents expressed fury at the hiring oversight, with one mother telling the Daily Record, "He stole her innocence and our peace of mind." These ordeals highlight research from the Centers of Disease Control showing child SA victims face 2 to 3 times higher rates of mental health issues. Of course they do, underscoring the ripple effects on families and communities. The fallout rippled through legal, financial, and policy arenas. It created precedents that now influence abuse cases in New Jersey today. Victims sued both schools, Fennis, and related parties in multiple civil actions, including Child M v. Jason Fennis in 2016 in Somerset County Superior Court, alleging negligence for Montville's cover-up and Cedar Hill's failure to inquire deeper during hiring. Montville's insurer, Zurich American Insurance Company, denied coverage under an abusive acts exclusion policy, arguing the district's actions enabled intentional harm. This sparked a separate federal lawsuit, Zurich American Insurance Company v. Montville Township Board of Education, where Zurich sought a declaratory judgment to avoid paying defense costs or settlements. The U.S. District Court for New Jersey ruled against Zurich in 2017, finding the policy ambiguous and ordering coverage for the underlying suits, a decision that was upheld by the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in 2019. Zurich appealed that to the U.S. Supreme Court. But in January 2020, the justices declined review, leaving districts vulnerable to uncovered liabilities in abuse cases and setting a national precedent for insurance disputes, making the systems work even harder against each other to do the right thing, protecting kids. Settlements in the victim suits were undisclosed, but likely substantial. Many estimates from similar New Jersey cases reaching $1 to $5 million per victim for pain, suffering, and punitive damages. Montville faced severe reputational damage. Superintendent Rovtar issued public statements post-guilty plea, apologizing and pleading for better protocols. But critics, including parent groups, called it insufficient, leading to calls for her resignation and board overhauls. Cedar Hill is a private school endured enrollment declines of up to 20% in 2017 and 18. Financial strain and legal fees and internal reviews that resulted in new hiring policies, though often face less regulatory scrutiny than public. Fenn's case directly inspired New Jersey's 2018 Pass the Trash Law. They finally did something in New Jersey, but again, New Jersey's not that big. And going across state lines to teach, well, all those lovely rules and laws that you got set up there, they don't translate over. But they did something there, so I got to give him credit for that. Governor Phil Murphy, which signed this thing, a bill that requires districts to disclose details of SA or child endangerment investigations to prospective employers within 20 days of a request. It also bans confidential settlements that conceal misconduct, mandates reference checks, including prior allegations, and imposes penalties like fines up to $10,000 or certificate revocation for noncompliance. So some serious penalties here. Sponsored by Senator Loretta Weinberg and Assemblywoman Valerie Huttle. The bill passed unanimously after hearings where Fenn's victims' advocates testified, emphasizing how the 2010 hush deal enabled their abuse. Yet enforcement remains uneven. Surprise, surprise. 2017 NJ.com series documented over 20 teachers who retained jobs despite allegations post-2010. And in a 2022 follow-up, it noted loopholes in private school applications. They're finding ways of still bringing these people in. The law has been cited in federal reports as a model, but advocates push for amendments to include interstate sharing and harsher criminal penalties for enablers. Compare this to similar cases in broader context in California Joseph Cotter's saga. He was passed between elite private schools with positive recommendations despite misconduct whispers, leading him to impregnating a 16-year-old girl and a 2015 guilty plea to felony S acts, followed by million-dollar settlements. Or David Ostrovich, a Los Angeles Unified School District, in the LA Unified School District, where complaints of lap-sitting and rubbing young girls in 03 and 04 went undocumented, resulting in his internal transfer, and then the essay of more kids, culminating in a no-contest plea and a $24 million settlement in 2024. These echo Fenn's internal probes. Minimize boundary violations as non-abusive, NDA silence truths, and private schools, they evade public mandates, allowing interstate or intra-district shuffles. Nationally, the U.S. Department of Education's 2022 report on ESSA compliance found only 29 states with strong bans, leaving gaps that Fenn has exploited. NPR's 2018 coverage of Pass the Trash featured New Jersey prominently, noting federal laws exist, but tracking is poor, with thousands of unreported cases annually. The public outcry was intense and sustained, particularly in Morris and Somerset counties. But it needs to go beyond that. It needs to go beyond just the counties where the horror is actively taking place. This needs to be a nationwide reform, and your voice needs to be heard in it. Please share this with other people so they know what the heck is going on. The outrage needs to be there because this is just going to keep happening until we have something in place that works, because clearly none of this is working and our kids are the victims. Tell me what your thoughts are in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not there yet, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us there. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading this so you don't miss any of our coverage in this case and the many that we cover for you right here at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. My name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.